special success. All for one and one for all. Unity means solidarity. Yeah.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about unity, solidarity, and various other nice adjectives. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and, incidentally, the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GuerrillaMedia.co.nz. You notice I'm speaking a little bit fast because I want to get straight to our guest, Charlie Veitch, live from the UK. Charlie, welcome.
Hi, Vinnie. Nice to speak to you. I was just listening to a nice bit of chilled out reggae. You're listening to the sound of reggae truth with peace and love and harmony and all the other good stuff. So how are things down under, my friend?
Well, just like everywhere else in the world, we're under the death grip of the vice grip of the New World Order banksters, essentially. And I imagine it's not too different for in your neck of the woods, Charlie.
No, just today I was out filming outside Buckingham Palace with a news crew from New York, and they're doing a report on the upcoming royal wedding between the blue-blooded scumbags that consider themselves better than us. And within 30 seconds of filming, a policeman came running out of the Buckingham Palace and grabbed our camera and threatened us with arrest. So, yeah, I fully felt the physical arm of the New World Order on me today. And it wasn't very pleasant. I didn't get stroked very nicely. I got barked at by a man. And this is, Britain's meant to be a democracy. And here's a man wearing the Queen's crown on his helmet. Now, there's democracy in action, isn't it, Vinny?
Oh, yeah. This is absolutely fabulous, darling. And in New Zealand Parliament, the Queen maintains the right to dissolve Parliament, just like she does with the Canadian government. And, everybody in the New Zealand government is under surveillance by the New Zealand Intelligence Service, which basically just answers to the Queen.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, we're under FCC regulations. You know, we're not allowed to swear as much as we would like to because these effing filthmongers really just don't give a flying F about us, Charlie.
No, these CUNTs don't give a fanny, do they? Whatever, yeah.
And, lastly, before we go on to break, we've got another minute or two. I wanted to know what exactly you've been up to now. Is it election year in the UK? You really got kind of straddled in. And I love that video when you were like calling them scumbags and you were following the procession of gaggles of weasels.
Yeah, that's right. Well, someone has to do it. There's a few elections going on. There's local elections in the UK. They're also having a big vote on the 5th of May about whether to change the electoral system from something called first past the post, which seems to be quite unfair, to something called proportional representation, which seems to be a lot more fair. But in my opinion, as an anarchist, as someone who disagrees with the concept of government, they can rearrange as many deck chairs on the Titanic as they want, that the ship is still going to crash and hit the iceberg and go down. So no, I've been super busy, but just I've been inundated with news crews from around the world, from Germany, from Holland, from New York, from all over the place, from the UK, the newspapers. They all seem to want to speak to me. And what they've been calling me, which is quite ironic for an anarchist, they've been calling me a leading anarchist. Now, there's a contradiction, which I just find quite funny. He's a leading anarchist.
Charlie Veitch from the Love Police, ladies and gentlemen. You can check him out at cveitch.org, V-E-I-T-C-H. Thanks so much for coming on with us today, Charlie. I know you're a busy man, and unfortunately, this is all the time you could spare us, so I'd like to thank you very much. See you, mate.
Now, Vinny, I appreciate it. Lots of love to all of you and to you, man. Speak to you soon.
Bye-bye. And we're back live, broadcasting from the fabulous Fluoride Head Fortress Auckland, New Zealand, in the sunny slave South Pacific nation. My remarkably special guest is Dana Louise Stewart. She's a filmmaker and producer and generally nice woman, and she knows a heck of a lot about good old-fashioned food. That's right. There's actually such a thing still left in this country called food, and it doesn't contain poison. And she, unlike all of the rest of the stuff we ate. Dana, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Vinny. Great to be here.
Feeling cancerous lately?
No. I'm sure there's quite a few out there who do know.
And how did you accomplish not feeling cancerous?
How did I accomplish not feeling cancerous? Well, you find out what cancer is and what causes it, and you go in the opposite direction, Vinny.
Well, that sounds pretty straightforward. You'd figure doctors would be able to figure something out quite as simple, like, for example, stress and bad diet causes cancer, so stop getting stressed out and eating crap food. But no! Have a couple of pharmaceutical drugs that'll make you even sicker.
Yes, well, they would have you believe it's rocket science, but it certainly is not. You pick up an apple and you eat it. Perfect cure for cancer. And I will say that word because it annoys me immensely that someone is trying to stop and tell me how to live my life and tell me that I can and can't use certain words to protect other people's incomes. I have my own to protect.
Yeah. Well, and it was interesting. In fact, I was having a discussion along those lines the other day with, you know how they have these this new campaign to, I don't know, what was it, like shave your head for cancer, for child cancer or something? And I was like, well, mate, at what point does shaving your head cure cancer? And the other aspect is, even if you were doing it as a fundraising operation and walking around with buckets and stuff like that, the relatively insignificant amount that you will collect from a crowd, you know, possibly $100 or something, ain't going to fund any decent cancer research. And that's even if it was actually going to fund proper cancer research. The problem is a lot of these companies that front themselves as being, oh, we're getting donations to help people with cancer. We're helping all the children. And the reality is they're funded by pharmaceutical companies in the first place. Yeah. And they're just using them as fronts to basically promote cancer in a very roundabout way, of course, so that nobody would ever suspect, and so that the wonderful university-educated student F-tards that we've got in this country won't suspect.
Oh, Vinny, I love your style. Yes, it's. I remember seeing that campaign and just thinking, how sad is that, that there's still people out there who don't realise what cancer is and what disease is, and that it doesn't take a rocket scientist to put two and two together, that diet and exercise and not stressing out are the best ways that you can change your life and to not live in this whole fear of cancer. I still can't get my head around that people, it's almost like they want to have all these negative things around. I think people are so used to feeling bad and not empowered that they just believe anything that they're told. Incredible.
Well, it's like the old quote says, you know, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And What do you think, Dana? Is that really what a good chunk of society has now become? These sort of rudderless automatons who just sort of follow whatever the status quo mofos decide to talk about.
Gosh, that sounds like a sci-fi fantasy, but it is actually very real. And unless people are ready, when you empower yourself by changing your diet and exercising, your whole entire body becomes this incredibly fit machine, and your thoughts actually change, and your whole consciousness develops and starts to work really clearly how it should have done in the first place. But when we're eating a lot of really high fat foods, processed, full of chemicals, it actually changes the chemical structure of your brain, and therefore the thoughts that you have are associated with that level of consciousness. So I can have a conversation with someone and you know, they'll be sick and they just don't get it because they're so far down the path that it's hard to wake them up to just feed them the basic knowledge of, hey, if you eat more fruit, more salad and more vegetables and go for a walk every day, you're going to, one, increase your lifespan by, you know, decades, and every day start to feel really good about yourself. And it's sad that a lot of people are addicted to disease. They're addicted to the attention that it brings. It's a very, very sad situation. But then there's a lot of people waking up as well and making really positive changes. So that's really promising.
Speaking of waking up, how did you actually wake up there, Dana?
How did I wake up? A friend of mine who I made my movie with, which is called Real and Raw, he had cancer, and I'd always wanted to know. My father died when I was 7 years old, and he died of a disease that hepatitis, and you know, it was a very sad situation, and I, my whole life, I was like, you know, why did he have to die and all these things? And if there was something that I could do to stop another child having to go through what I went through, then I needed to find that answer. So, you know, there's a couple of answers to that, and that was strength and determination. The determination to succeed and to find out what cancer was, what hepatitis is, what disease is. And if you ask the question, the answer will come to you. But people don't question anymore, Vinny. And it's one of the most amazing tools that we have is thought, and utilising our thoughts to create and bring about the changes and things that we want in our life. So I started going to seminars and listening to people who went, hey, do you know what? You can heal your body. And I followed the people who got results. I didn't follow the doctors because when I met and saw doctors, they were all the sickliest, hideous-looking bunch of characters around. And I thought, well, you know, if I follow you, I'm going to end up looking like you, and I'm quite happy with my six-pack and very sporty, healthy, sexy, feminine-looking body. And, I don't particularly want to not look like that. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, and it's a simple choice, right? Hey, do you want to be healthy and very good looking, or do you want to be really ill, really unhappy, and you don't even have to finish the question before you already know the answer. You know what I'm saying? But the problematic difficulty is that because people have been conditioned I don't know if it's even possible to escape being conditioned in some way by our environment in these days, because it's just so influential. Really, we're surrounded by toxins, both the kind of walking bipedal type toxic elements, and as well as, of course, almost everything that you walk into a supermarket and look at being either sprayed with them, packaged in them, or are comprised of nothing but toxins. You know what I'm saying? And if it is a goal of society to be happy, to be healthy, then it becomes patently obvious that we're failing quite miserably. Now, you were talking before about what are diseases and what are the tools? And when I think of diseases and when I think of tools, I think of the House of Parliament in New Zealand, full of a bunch of diseased tools.
That's correct. Yeah, very, very sad.
Yeah, and you've had some experience with talking to government officials. What do they think about your ideas of, you know, basically trying to prevent cancer by having a good diet and exercise?
Well, it's, you know, Vinny, it's not rocket science, but people get so involved in their own agendas and people have become so complicated. It's like I have this motto in my life: if it's complicated, you're going in the wrong direction. Life is a very simple design. If we go back to the geometry even of how our bodies are all designed and how the world is designed, you know, it is a very, very simple design. Our heads have become so complicated. And I personally believe that any politician should have to go through a rigorous training program of health and of diet and exercise before they're even allowed to sit as our governing body. People are so, so sick and obese and your thought processes do not function properly when you don't have the right diet and you're not exercising. And these people are meant to be role models. And I say, shame on them. Absolutely disgusted in our politicians and the fact that they are role models for our children. You go back to when I was at school. I'm 36 years old now. There was probably one overweight child in the whole school. Now you're a minority if you are of a normal size. You know, I think our politicians are failing us, and I think we should fire them all. You know, but aside from that, people need to take responsibility for their own lives and stop blaming other people as well, and get off our couches and stop going to McDonald's and eating high fat foods. And learning about the absolutely amazing things you can do to change your life by changing your diet and exercising and building muscle. We were actually meant to have muscles.
Well, you know, and now this is the thing. When we look at our politicians, I mean, let's take the biggest of the bunch. Jerry Brownlee, our Christchurch earthquake minister. Now, I'm 6'5" and just under 100 kilos. And he's like, I don't know, 5'9", and he must be pushing 140, 150 kilos. Like, the man is gargantuan, you know? Mm-hmm. And whenever I see, you know how in the press clubs and stuff like that, when they go into lunch lady rooms or cafes or whatever to meet the voters and all of that, I mean, when Jerry Brownlee walks in, they're like, oh, Minister, would you like us to whip you up half a dozen pies? and it's just like, well, what comes to mind for me is not just the fact that he looks really disgusting, it's more the fact that because he is so unhealthy, it means that his brain is not functioning properly, right? Which would explain a lot of National Party policy.
Well, as well, as far as I'm concerned, the stronger your body becomes, and the more muscle that you build, and the healthier that you are, the more confident you are, and you're not actually, life becomes very, very simple. And when I look at someone who's extremely overweight, it means that, you know, they have serious emotional issues and holding on to baggage and storing stuff and not able to deal with stuff in a really healthy, energizing kind of a way. You know, our whole society should be built around having the healthiest, fittest people on the planet. So that we cut our the amount of spending that we put onto the sick system. It's not a health system; it's a sick system. Because if you're healthy, you have to take that into your own hands. No one helps you to get healthy in this country. But if you're sick, you can go and you can get thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars spent on you. And, yes, I'm just looking at some photos of Jerry Brownlee on the internet, and the guy needs a serious health makeover. Absolutely.
Well, you know, speaking of people who have serious health makeovers, Rodney Hyde. Now, he actually did undergo a remarkable transformation, no small part to his Dancing with the Stars debut. And as a result of getting lots of exercise and dieting correctly, and the same with Peter Jackson, you know, these are the two famous people that have lost a copious quantities of weight, and they look much better. And I'm not sure. I haven't spoken to them since they've lost all their weight to ask whether or not they're happier or feeling better. But it's pretty self-evident that they must be because that's the direct result, you know. And as I think about it, what we have as a government should really more be similar to the transformation that these guys have been going through, shedding off those excess pounds, shedding off that negativity, and becoming fit fighting machines that have as little waste as possible. But if I were to classify the government, it would be about 180 degrees from what I just said.
Yes. I just think if someone has the strength of mind to set a health goal, then that can be applied to all areas of their life. But if you don't have the strength of mind to say, actually, I care enough about myself to lose the weight, to build muscle, to eat healthy, then are you going to make those decisions for the country as well? No, and I think people need to start and stand up for themselves and say, hey, do you know what? These are the two most important things that our country needs to be focused on, and stop living in fear. People are saying, oh, I can't change my diet. I can't do this. I can't do that. Cut the word can't out of your life and start changing your mind. Your mind is a very, very powerful thing. Since I changed my diet and focused on building muscle and not doing just straight cardio, which is one of the biggest mistakes that people go when they go to the gym or start exercising, they just do cardio. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to lose weight, if you want to tone up, start building muscle. The more muscle that your body has, the faster your metabolism goes. You can actually eat more. I eat 3,000 calories a day some days. I can stuff my face all day. And if you go to my website, danaLouiseStewart.com, you'll see photos of me and how fit and healthy I am. I can walk into headstands. I can do all this incredible, incredible stuff with my body that ever since I changed my diet and started eating fruit, which is a carbohydrate, which is a simple sugar, which is glucose, which is what our body runs on. Now, no one tells us this at school. So it's straightforward knowledge that people don't understand what we're actually designed to eat. We're designed to eat fruit, salad, and vegetables.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this is the thing that has been lost on people, and this is due in no small part, in my opinion, to the huge quantity of fast food and processed foods that seem to just invade the world's food supply after World War II, after these big companies spent gazillions of dollars creating all these freeze-dried products to keep the troops alive while they were away from civilization, fighting and killing others, and now they're here and they're killing us. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Dana Louise Stewart.
I got some so-called friends. Smile right to my face. All when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh, no, no. Oh, no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Who's that? Are you on?
Welcome back, ladies and gents, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Broadcasting live from the future, from the fabulous fluoride head capital, Auckland, New Zealand, in the slave South Pacific Island nation. My very special guest is Dana Louise Stewart. You've got a number of websites, danaLouiseStewart.com, and there's also realandraw.com, and what was the other one?
Fruit for Our Children.
Yeah. Now, we were speaking about Jerry Brownlee before. You know how he's become like the sort of the Christchurch Quake Minister? I rationalise that they put him in that position because he knows how they feel, or rather his wife really does, after being crushed every night. Hopefully the Broadcasting Standards Authority doesn't receive a complaint for that one. In fact, actually, I would relish the opportunity to defend myself in court over an accusation like that, come to think of it. I'm so cruel, but he deserves it. Now, speaking of a real crushing defeat and all of that kind of jazz, you made the film Real and Raw with Matthew Wilson and, incidentally, my somewhat fabulous producer, Mitch Santel. You've travelled all over the States and visiting a lot of raw foodists and things of that nature. What was that all like?
Oh, it was fabulous. We had a fantastic time, met some really great people. And however, I've come to realise that a lot of people in the raw food movement are actually still on the same agenda of promoting themselves, a whole ego-based mentality that is leading people up the garden path. You know, I just want to give people a few small tips that they can add some really cool stuff into their daily lives and make a massive difference. You know, if you're tired, if you want to remain disease free, if you want to be around to see your great great grandchildren, or even your children have children nowadays, if you want to extend your life and vitality in it, you can start adding fruit into your diet. Now, I some days eat 20 bananas a day. We were designed to eat fruit, and people say, oh, won't you overload on potassium or this, that, and everything else? And I'm like, no, you don't. We were designed to eat fruit. I mean, you don't have to be as extreme as what I am. People go, oh, you're extreme, you're a vegan. And I'm like, no, you're extreme. Look at the extreme that society has gone to provide you with the food that you're eating. My bananas grow in the backyard, mate. Like, you know, I pull them off a tree. They make you look super sexy. Have you ever seen a lady who's got a hot body eating bananas? You know, pay money, lots of money to have women like that in their magazines and stuff. I'm like, I say to men, help your wives, help your girlfriends to be the best that she can be by encouraging her to eat fruit. And men, you want to eat bananas too, because the law of signatures states that eat bananas and you...
You're getting improvements in your nether regions, shall we say.
Yes.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah. It's always the kind of subject we like to discuss on this show. Go ahead, sorry.
Organic bananas. I actually get 18 kilos of bananas delivered to my house by the wonderful guys at So Good Bananas, the organic fair trade bananas that are now in supermarkets. And they're pretty fascinated by my lifestyle and what I'm doing. So 18 kg a week, people, that's what I go through. And you can't eat ever. You can never eat too much fruit. You can't get fat on fruit. And if you want to have energy for your workouts, to hang out with the kids, to increase your concentration, to every area of your life, you know, be fruitful. Eat more fruit.
Be fruitful. Eat more fruit. Sounds simple enough. And you know what the interesting thing is that people think that their health is a complicated affair, right? Mm. Don't you find that really ironic? Because it's actually been quite simple for quite some time. And I think that the medical profession has tried their dangdest to try and ensure that just like the, what's it called, just like the Catholic Church kept information out of everybody's hands by making sure that it, all the things were only written in Latin, which nobody spoke, so therefore they kept the power, they kept the information. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, not entirely dissimilar to how the medical profession is treating the rest of us, they've got all these words to describe medical conditions, which incidentally are all Latin, and they try to make sure that people don't comprehend what's going on. And I think this is a very smart move on the medical professional's part because they're the third leading cause of death, according to the Ministry of Health.
Yes. Well, it's not you know, you are told by your doctor to eat, you know, to eat more fruit. Well, why not eat a lot more fruit? You know, it should be the major part of our diet. And a lot of people are so addicted to their favorite foods. They're like, oh, there's no way I'm giving up my steak or whatever. And I'm like, well, don't give it up. Just add some stuff in there. And if you can't cope with that right now, but you can still cope with waking up and having, don't eat anything else but fruit until lunchtime. Easy, you know, give that to yourself. Love yourself enough to do that. There's not one person that doesn't want to feel healthier, to look better, to have more energy, to have better sex drive. You know, all this dysfunction in our society is directly related to what we're putting in our bodies, and we need to wake up.
We're being rather foolish, aren't we? And I think it's one of the, again, the conditioning. It's sort of like a... it's not chicken and egg, was it? It's a circular kind of argument, right? Like, we're all fat because we don't know our nutrition properly, and we stay fat because we become dumber because our nutrition's improper. You know, like this. It's like we're on a. I wouldn't call it a hamster wheel, because a hamster wheel has a cage on one side but not on the other, so that the hamster can get on and off the wheel, sort of thing. It's more like a hamster ball, where we can move around randomly everywhere, but we can't actually make contact. We can't get out of the ball, and that's basically what our society is now. It's this big ball that we can't get out of, and the government's trying to legislate away people's individual choice, like the choices that you're making, you know, whether or not you want to make green smoothies or have organic bananas and all of that kind of jazz. You know, that's all fair and well, but playing devil's advocate for a minute, I mean, HR 510, I think it was, in the United States, the Food Safety Modernization Act, makes it illegal to have an organic garden in your own home. And a guy got fined $5,000 for doing such. Oh, mate, he wished he didn't have that broccoli. And if that kind of thing can happen in the US, my thoughts are that it will happen here. And, in fact, the legislation's already underway, most likely. It's probably already written, copied and pasted, most probably. And, yeah, that's my understanding of it anyway, is that if people do figure out that they can take control of their own health, government I wouldn't say government, New World Order, basically, and their various puppets in our government, then just suddenly get their signals up and just go, oop, we've got to clamp down on that, you know, because we can't have healthy thinking people in this society, because then we won't be able to run it all like our own little criminal sandpit in the playpen.
Yeah, I always, because I lead such a healthy, energetic life, I find it very surprising when I hear this stuff again, that people are so, to have to control somebody else and to impose your way of life onto somebody else means that you're an incredibly weak individual, and a very sad one at that. Self-empowerment, people, you have to empower yourself. Repeat after me. I am the most powerful person that I know. Claim your power. Claim your individualism. As soon as everybody does that, and you know, get out, go for a walk. The best cure for depression is exercise. Go for a walk. Everyone feels good. You go out, you get your fresh air, you talk to your neighbour. This is not about the government controlling us. This is about us controlling us. And as soon as people recognise how powerful the individual is, and then the collective whole, wow, what a world we can live in.
Seeing possibilities is the one thing that I think kind of sets us apart, right? Because we're patriotic, because we, we care, to put it bluntly, because we care and because we can try and find solutions as a result, we're very difficult to control, and therefore we're very dangerous to those who wish to control us, right? And the difficulty is that, I don't know, have you actually felt this before? I certainly know I have. You kind of get these spurs of hate And they come from you to all the other Like, you know, if you talk to some fluoride head slave who's like real unhealthy or whatever, and you tell them decent information that can quite likely improve, if not save, their life, and they treat you like you're some description of pariah. and you wind up hating them. And I find myself trying to restrain how I feel a lot of the times, because I don't like that sort of emotional sort of, you know, somebody's just being a complete ass. Oh, I hate that person. I don't like that. And I try as I may, there's still so many people to be angry with, you know. But I don't have to be angry with them. Have you experienced this?
Well, I now use humor and I use fun, because to hate and all those things, what people don't realize is, you know, that affects your own health and well-being. And if I tell my friends, hey, if I'm ever behaving seriously, can you please slap me? having fun is part of the fundamentals of life. Fundamental means to have fun with the mind of God. We are the most powerful thing that there is, yet we have not claimed that. And how do you claim that? You have fun with life. Who doesn't like having fun? Go to a comedy show. Lighten up. And you know, we get so involved in this whole agenda and other people's ways. Hey, create your own way. I'm currently designing my own label of female sportswear, which is incredibly elegant. It's very sexy. And when you see women wearing my clothes, you're going to wonder why on earth they've ever shopped at, you know, the Rebel Sports and all these other places, because, as you may know, we are moving into a more feministically run society, which is why all the male structures, the masculine structures, and this isn't about male and female, this is about feminine and masculine behaviours, all the masculine structures are falling down, and we are looking towards a more grounded, nurturing, caring society. And so I took the bull by the horns and saw a niche in the marketplace and went, hey, no one's designing elegant sportswear for women. Hey, I'm going to do that. So what I'm saying is, find your passion, find something to do that's positive. And the more you put wood on the fire, the
well, you kind of cut out there a bit, Dana. Dana, are you there? We appear to have lost her. We'll try and bring her back up in a moment. But moving on from this, the health industry, and I'm talking about the real health industry. There's somebody who comes up to you and says, hey, do you want to actually be healthy and not have to pay copious quantities of money to enormous, disgusting pharmaceutical companies that'll just make you sicker? Here's some advice. And the advice is free. But the healing is not free because you have to take responsibility for it. In my opinion, anything that requires work isn't free, right? Which, you know, for the fundamentally means that nothing's free, because anything that's worth having is something you have to work for, you know? And that's what personal responsibility is all about. The reason why everybody's so sick, so deluded, so insane, and I believe this is self-evident, is because they've abdicated their responsibility. They think that because there's a government who makes decisions, that means I don't have to make any decisions for myself anymore. And that just doesn't sit right with me. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally, TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you by GorillaMedia.co.nz. Back in a moment. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, and check us out at GorillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's alternative media. Now, law to fight internet piracy rushed through New Zealand Parliament is the headline. For those of you unfamiliar with the New Zealand Parliament, and that includes most of New Zealand, there's only one House of Parliament, which means that if you have a piece of legislation that's totally draconian and evil and absolutely fulfills the quota of scumbaggery that we expect from government, you can do that right here in New Zealand in a day, okay? There's no checks, no balances, and it makes for a very smooth running parliament. If smooth running parliament means smooth running dictatorship gradually, and I think that's good for a metaphor, isn't it? A dictatorship is like the Titanic. Very big and grandiose, but assuredly will wind up destroyed and gone from sight. That's what happens with tyranny whenever it rears its very, very ugly head. Internet users are calling for a repeat of the 2009 blackout protest to oppose a new file-sharing law. The copyright, infringing file-sharing amendment bill to combat internet piracy was being rushed through Parliament under urgency last night. And what I love about urgency is that they use it for things that are really, really not urgent, right? Is censoring the web an urgent thing? What dangerous things are happening? Oh, my goodness. Somebody downloaded Battle Los Angeles last night on the internet. The country's in trouble. We need to get this legislation passed. The bill is expected to pass through its final stage today with very little opposition. And by very little opposition, I mean there's these little parties in there that would oppose it. But, of course, just like first past the post, multiple mixed member proportional government, which is what we've got here. We've got like a whole bunch of different parties in Parliament forming coalitions and all of that kind of jazz. It still means that it's very, very easy to descend into tyranny anyway. It would allow copyright owners to ask for a 6-month suspension of the internet accounts of those who repeatedly infringe. Outraged Twitter users have begun calling for the protest to be revived. 2 years ago, between February 16th and 23, internet users changed their avatars to black squares to oppose Section 92A of the Copyright Act, and it was backed by the comic Stephen Fry. The clause required internet service providers to disconnect offenders. Now, I don't know about you, but Big Brother absolutely loves this country, doesn't he? Because, you know, practically no protest gets put up by the government or any of the elected officials who are supposed to represent the people's views, and they basically do whatever the heck they want, and usually that results in the degradation of the entire country as a whole. Protesters wrote to their MPs and 17,000 signed a petition 4 days after about 200 people marched on Parliament holding up plain black placards and someone with taped mouths. Prime Minister John Key announced that it would be delayed, and a month later, the controversial clause was removed and redrafted. But opponents say the new legislation, which imposes a 2-year delay on the sanctions, still go too far. The House is currently in urgency to pass Christchurch earthquake recovery measures. And by earthquake recovery measures, they mean, well, it means that there's going to be basically no zoning laws or anything like that. So any retard with a pick and a shovel can probably build a house and then get everything signed off automatically by the government. And then they'll come back to inspect it later and say, oh, well, that is pretty crap. Maybe we should have looked over it in the first place. Oh, well, it was the Christchurch government. This is all right. And incidentally, other earthquake recovery measures include immunity from prosecution for the Earthquake Commission. That's right. If the government agency destroys your home, destroys your business, damages any of the like, you will not have any recourse. Can't sue them. Nothing. They are immune. Okay? the state is God. Believe me when I tell you, this is extremely serious. Okay? And some people would try and parlay it like, oh, Vinny, they're only just going to do it in Christchurch, you know. What are you getting all bent out of shape about? It is a pinnacle of a free society to have recourse and accountability. Okay? If you have the ability to pass legislation to remove accountability of any kind, that is not a free society. I thought it was pretty straightforward. But apparently some people need to be reminded. You know, and I think this is probably because we're living in a time now where most of the people walking the earth today haven't lived under a huge, terrible, in-your-face tyranny like that of Soviet Russia or Nazi Germany. Okay? So they can't see what's coming. Right? When I look at all this legislation being passed, that's what I see. I see legislation that's very similar to what happened in Soviet Russia and Nazi Germany. And I see the correlation. Okay? I haven't experienced these things for myself, but I've looked at history. And history, as I think it was Mark Twain said, it doesn't repeat itself, but it sure does rhyme. And a spokesman for Simon Power, our justice minister, who sponsors the bill, confirmed that other legislation would also be rushed through in addition to this internet piracy and Christchurch quakes, and all, of course, under urgency with no consultation with the public whatsoever. And it's not going to get any better, I can assure you. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and I apologise if I get a little bit aggressive and yell and scream and all of that kind of stuff, but basically, you know, I got no excuse. You know, I just do it because it really does make me angry. You know, I love my country very much. I love my people even more. And to see them betrayed, to see all their rights being taken away from them by evil scumbags, I should be angry, shouldn't I? And so should you. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll be right back. Gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GuerrillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's alternative media. And speaking of alternative media, I was just wondering to myself, is there any other branches of the tree of liberty that seem to be falling down these days? Starting up any kind of alternative media business or whatever seems to be quite the frickin' challenge. But I was talking to Charlie Veach just before the show today, and I showed him this new thing that you can do on Skype. Well, apparently it's not actually that new. Well, it's actually more like it's been there quite a while. It's called Screen Share. And you know how when you're talking on Skype, you can do a webcam, right? screen share is a little box there that has a sort of arrow through it, and you can click on that when you're doing Skype calls to people, and they can see your computer screen. Isn't that cool? And I thought, man, wow, that's a really great way to do slideshow presentations, wouldn't you think? Or design work, you know. I've been working with a number of people recently, designing things for them, and they always want these little tweaks made, you know, just moving something a few millimeters that way or this way or whatever. And so I'd have to keep kind of have to guess what they want out of it when I'm talking across the phone or whatever. But now I don't have to do that. They can actually just be on a Skype call with me, and we can get something designed right there and then. And I've done DVD wallets, packets, design labels, and posters, and all of that kind of jazz. And I think it would make it a lot easier. Now, in terms of Patriot movements, things of that nature, it's going to be a heck of a lot easier for us to really fight the New World Order because Skype's free. Okay, that gives us the ability to do things that the mainstream media can do, you know, you broadcast and show people articles and all that kind of jazz, without any cost. That's why mainstream media is failing so miserably, is because alternative media, not only is the information better, much more interesting, and less, shall we say, corrupted by propaganda, allegedly, but it's much cheaper, right? Don't you find it interesting how in society nowadays the worst things are the most expensive, and those are the things that are pushed on you, right? Isn't that strange? Whereas the best things in life are free. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio, and we'll be right back after the break. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Check out our archives there because we've got quite a few amazing interviews that we've conducted with activists and various other people all around the world. And received a comment here. This is a Facebook thing, and I kind of have been wanting to read this out on air for some time, but I've had nothing but guests, but conveniently I don't have one at the moment. Now, Waikato Students Union down in the Tron, Hamiltron, the city of the future, the city of Agenda 21, is having a little event on the university this week on the Village Green, with donation buckets being passed around. A nice young lady named Mel is having her head shaved to raise funds for a thing called Shave for a Cure. And everybody is supposed to come around and support them and all of that kind of jazz. And this is what I've been kind of discussing with these people for a number of days. They've stopped replying and you'll soon see why. Don't shave your heads. Get some maple syrup and baking soda. Warm it up in a saucepan until it's mixed properly, then take 3 teaspoons of the mixture daily with lots of water and leafy green vegetables. There's your cure. Or you could pump your bloodstream full of radiation and chemicals, i.e. what a doctor would recommend, which means you've got a 5% chance of survival. And the first comment is the if, you know, with a question mark, as you do. And a couple of people like that comment. And I tried to explain myself by saying cancer cells live off sugar. They die from alkalinity. When you mix the sugary maple syrup with the alkaline baking soda, the cancer cells try to absorb the sugar and then get eaten away by the baking soda. You know, it's pretty straightforward. And if you ask the Natural Health Care Centre in Wellington, my mate Andrew Hendry knows all about it at www.nhc, NHC for Natural Health Care Centre.co.nz. And if that doesn't work, try cannabis resin. Rick Simpson in Canada proved it cures cancers both when topically applied and internally ingested. And you can find his recipe for this at phoenixtears.ca. And also read the book Suppressed Inventions and Other Discoveries, edited by my good friend Jonathan Eisen. And there have been many cures that have been worked, that have worked very well with little or no risk to the patient. And the doctors that advocate them have their medical licenses revoked, their practices ransacked, or their cures stolen by Big Pharma, who get them to sign contracts for like 40 or 30 years of testing when it's already clear that the cure works. And people just get informed, you know. Cancer industry is a $1 billion business, and they rope in good-natured people to do worthless parlor tricks, and the cancer rates continue to climb. Don't be a sucker. And a man named Jeremy says, while I respect your opinion here and agree that the pharmaceutical industry is probably incredibly corrupt, I don't agree with the statement, worthless parlor tricks. Doing anything to raise awareness slash support slash funding to make the lives of suffering people better isn't worthless at all. And, you know, I actually agree with that to a certain extent. But the awareness only raises fear of cancer. Fear causes stress. Stress causes illness. And if it accomplished nothing and refuses, and if it accomplished nothing and refuses to address real cures, who exactly does it help? And FYI, the pharma industry isn't probably corrupt. It is corrupt. Only 2 countries in the world advertise drugs directly to consumers: the United States of America and New Zealand. New Zealand doesn't even have the proper warning labels on our prescriptions. We don't tell people some medications cause homicide, suicide, memory loss, stomach cramps, and liver failure. Even vaccine dangers aren't disclosed. During the swine flu hoax, the untested vaccine was encouraged for pregnant mothers. And if you look on the back of the pack at the warning labels, it said, do not give to pregnant women. Big Pharma rose out of the ashes of Nazi eugenic science that experienced a big fall in popularity around the 1940s for some reason. So they stopped saying people's race was bad and start saying it was their genes and mental disorders that they were inferior. Okay? And the reply to this by Jeremy is, yes, most of the world is run by greedy, selfish, generally nasty people. I'm not saying it isn't. But what I do find weird is that you seem to be against publicly supporting people that suffer from cancer. You know, by telling people that there's cures out there and the big pharma industry is going to give them more cancer and kill them, I'm against supporting people that suffer from cancer. Yeah. Who benefits from activities like this, he says? The people who suffer from the disease. In terms of funding, emotional slash psychological support, knowing that people consider their struggles isn't that an accomplishment. No, it's not an accomplishment, okay? If you want to actually have a goal in sight, if your goal is to cure cancer, all you got to do in order to accomplish your goal is cure one single person of cancer, okay? That's the bottom line as far as I'm concerned. If you're trying to cure cancer and you don't cure cancer, what have you accomplished? You've accomplished jack all. Okay, this is how I see the world. If you don't accomplish anything, you can't say I tried and I'm very good for trying. Okay,
do or do not. There is no try.
Thank you, Yoda.
You're welcome.
I do appreciate your opinion. You're obviously well-read on the subject. Perhaps the better option would be to ask people who are directly affected by the disease itself whether they think public support like this is worthwhile or not. And I don't think these events create fear or stress. Whenever I've gone to one of these events, I've never been suddenly terrified of getting cancer. I've been filled with warm fuzzies, in fact. If anything, I think it's encouraging to know that people can come together to help each other out. And again, there's a point on that I agree with. And now Melissa gets involved in the conversation. She says, tell me, Gorilla, and she doesn't say Gorilla, which is my name on YouTube, Gorilla Media, one word, and my last name is Mr. News, MR News, Gorilla Media, Mr. News. She says, tell me, Gorilla, so Gorilla spelt with an O, she's basically calling me an ape, or whatever your name is, do you have cancer? Have you had cancer? Actually, I don't even care. It's like, okay, insult me, ask me questions that you don't even care about the answer. All right? This is the lady who obviously so cares about everybody that she's willing to get her head shaved to save them. And she doesn't actually care about cancer by her own admission. All I know is that they are raising funds to help. Okay, see, and that's all you know. You don't know where cancer comes from. You don't know what causes it. You don't know how to kill it. And you don't know how the cancer industry profits off it. And you don't know how the cancer industry has gotten their hooks into all these little fundraising organizations. Okay? That is basically it. And she says, all I know is that they're raising funds to help. Why are you putting this stuff on Facebook when it is a good cause? Well, the thing is, you know, as a general concept, yes, it is a good cause. But if it doesn't actually accomplish anything good, how can it be a good cause? How about you start your own Facebook page and then you can put whatever views you have on it and start a discussion forum that way, because this is not the time or the place to be discussing your personal opinions. And that's all done in full capitals. That's right. A place where they're talking about cancer and curing it is not the place to talk about cancer and curing it. And that's what these rudimentary retards base their life around. If somebody is right and I'm wrong, it's suddenly not the place to be having this discussion. Okay? That's their argument. All right? And so I said, Melissa and Jeremy, in a lot of arguments, people stop explaining themselves and listening to others. Instead, they spend that valuable time listening to themselves and explaining others. I appreciate that you think you're helping, so I'll allow you to prove it. How many people have been cured of cancer due to research funded by public fundraisers like this? Zero. If you can prove otherwise, I'd like to see the documented evidence. My mother has had cancer. My father died of cancer. One of my friends cured herself with green veggies. And another one of my mates now has prostate cancer, and he's in his mid-20s. Several of my acquaintances in the political realm now have cancer too. It's cancer, cancer everywhere. 1 in 3 conservatively now get cancer in their lifetime in New Zealand. 1 in 2, if you believe the government stats, which I don't. Cancer in the 50s was like 1 in 865 or something absolutely astronomically ridiculous. It was so rare to see child cancer that doctors would actually travel great distances all the way across the world to see them. It was like finding a leprechaun. And I've shown them here that proven cures, not my opinion, but the opinions of qualified medical professionals that I'm just repeating. And I know that there's a bad thing to that, and I will not claim that I understand all the issues 100% fully, okay? But just like the slaves, I do still operate under a real modicum of trust of the medical establishment, because let's face it, they are qualified. However, there's two types of qualified people. Qualified people that are arrogant and retarded, and qualified people that are adept at finding out that they're actually wrong. That's what a real scientist and a real researcher really endeavors to find out, whether or not I'm wrong, whether or not I'm pushing cancer on people or a cure. Okay? That's the difference between me believing a doctor and these people believing a doctor. Okay. Now, I have had qualified doctors on my radio show that say that vaccines have had cancer viruses inserted into them, that the food supply is being contaminated on purpose, and that cancer research for the charities are funded by Big Pharma to raise awareness for cancer as a dog and pony show for the masses to keep them occupied while they steadily die of cancer they can cure themselves with over-the-counter ingredients you can buy at any health food store. But the government is in bed with business, so they've passed legislation to outlaw anyone saying they've found a cure. Ask any naturopath if they've cured cancer before, and they will say no, because they're not allowed to say yes. David Holden, the number one naturopath in the country, allegedly, has cured many, many people, and I know him personally, and did a video for him about the real causes of cancer. The factor of the matter is, I care more about people and the subject of cancer than the both of these people I'm talking to right here. I incidentally know more because I bothered to find out, instead of going to charity events that distract from real problems so that I can have a good time. I think that it is a spit in the face to all people I see dying around me to accuse me of not caring. Now, if you're interested in knowing the truth, I broadcast live from New Zealand Tuesday through Saturday, 10 a.m. till midday, on 26 AM FM stations worldwide and online at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Okay? So I've given them the information, and I've given them sources, and I've given them the ability to listen to my radio show so that they can become better informed. All right? That is my responsibility done. This is what everybody should do. If you see some lying organization and you have the ability to comment right there and then, whether it be articles online or Facebook events, Facebook groups, anything that is basically fulfilling a New World Order agenda and you know it, you should make a comment, okay? And you will get people angry and they will insult you, as I have been insulted here in this little transcript, okay? However, just bear in mind that you're being insulted by retards. So it's not that offensive, in my opinion. And, I don't want to be mean to these people by calling them retards, but that's what they are, you know. And I can't dumb it down better than that, you know. I don't want to slip into some description of skin where I will automatically try to think about the dumbest thing I could possibly say and try to insult people instead of listening to them. I can't do it. Can't do it anymore. I don't want to. You know, I feel like I'm allergic to it. Allergic to BS. Makes me feel sick, frankly. And a lot of these people that are trying to do these nice things like Prostate Cancer Foundation, etc., 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 there is a modicum of really, really nice, well-meaning people that devote their own time, their own money, their own resources, their own talents and skills in order to support these things that they think are very good. Okay? Just because you think something's really good doesn't mean it is. Okay? It's the problem. How can you really ascertain what everything is? You can't figure out everything. I mean, and I'd be the first to admit that. If anybody thought that they knew everything, it'd be pretty straightforward. They obviously don't know nothing. If they think they know nothing, then they probably know enough. You know? That's what I always say. I think that the concept of knowing, you know, in capital letters, in the Nicolas Cage sense of the word, is almost overrated. Almost. It's actually very important to know what you are talking about. Okay? And if you don't know what you're talking about, ask questions or do some research so that you do. Unless, of course, the subject matter is of complete disinterest to you and On that token, I'm kind of wondering, if it is of disinterest to you, maybe you should actually learn a little bit about it anyway, because you'll find out that a lot of very boring topics are actually incredibly interesting. The difficulty is that you don't have very absorbing teachers all the time. This is why I love the conspiracy field, because it is very, very interesting, all of it, okay? When I was in high school, history was one of my favorite subjects, but I didn't do very well at it, and I wasn't taught all of this stuff. If I was, I would have done far better, because I would have been far more interested. This is what people have forgotten, that if you tell the truth, it's far more interesting than telling them a lie. You know? That's what I think anyway. I could be wrong. I certainly hope I'm not. Maybe I'm naive to think that people value truth these days. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com, and proudly brought to you by GorillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's unconventional news. And I'll be right back. I want to jump it.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know.
Welcome back. Always going to be a surprise, because you don't know the way it's going to go. That's basically the way the cookie crumbles these days, don't you think? Everything is uncertain. Why? Why are people uncertain about everything? You know, maybe they're trying to think about things in too complicated a way, or perhaps they're not questioning enough. Yeah. The only thing I'm certain of is that I don't question things enough. Yep. I definitely think so. I think I make too many assumptions, too many assertions, and not enough research. And I parlay it and make excuses like, oh, I don't need to do research because I interview the researchers. And you know, that's my argument for it, but does that fly, really? Can you make an excuse and a deduction and an assumption like that? I don't know. Maybe I'm being too overly critical of myself. And perhaps that's actually a smart thing to do, because therefore you'll know when you're starting to be a little bit corrupt, a little bit evil, and doing the wrong thing, as some patriots wind up doing to others on occasion. I'm not going to mention any names here. When we have a global patriot movement, and this is something I was discussing on the Crotch Shot Radio with Louis B. Yesterday, when we have a global patriot movement, that's when the New World Order will be running scared, okay? If we've got the Kiwis and the Aussies and the Americans and the Brits and the Canadians and the Chinese, the Japanese, if we have patriots worldwide uniting to fight the common enemy, they can't fight a war on multiple fronts. Nobody can, you know. I mean, there's the complications in warfare where if you're surrounded, you're screwed, basically. I mean, there's occasions, on the other hand, where you can look at military tactique and say that, well, let's say World War II, take that as the example. Hitler lost World War II because of such and such reason. He was fighting the Russians on one front and the Allies on the other, and he was trying to take over Africa at the same time that he was rolling into France and the same time he was rolling into Russia. And, you know, it's just too many balls to juggle. Sorry, Mein Führer, you can't keep the war effort going. Your supply lines are under threat. Your troops are being defeated left, right, and center. You know, occasionally they'll have victories and all of that, but on the whole, it's inevitable. You're going to die. You're going to lose. The Third Reich will fall, but it will rise again in the form of the USSA. You know? That's what really happens. And the New World Order, I think, is you know, the comparison always gets drawn with Nazi Germany. You know, it's pretty obvious. It's the only thing that you can really point a stick at that really represents the kind of tyranny that the New World Order wants to bring in. But except it'll be far worse. Technocracy, right? Something with all this technology that we currently have today, trying to implement the exact same form of tyranny that was implemented in past generations. Okay? Trying to take over a country with muskets and sabers is infinitely easier if you're trying to take over a country with financial terrorism, nuclear weapons, and total surveillance grids. Okay? There's a huge difference. Now, the New World Order, of course, doesn't ally itself to any flag or any particular ideology kind of thing. I mean, it's just like eugenics. That's pretty common belief structure amongst the New World Order cronies. They just love the idea of seeing us as slaves, scum that have no value and are basically just animals to be killed off, you know, much like War of the Worlds, if you will. Now, what I'm talking about here is that the Patriot Movement, because we are, in the modern context, the allies, because we are now surrounding the world, and we are starting up radio shows, YouTube videos, and our own TV shows, and it was just growing, and expanding exponentially in every direction. And the New World Order knows that the game is almost up. Okay? I'm very scared. Now, this is not a good thing in its entirety. There's a bad side to this. Because once your enemy knows that you're a threat, once they're up against the wall, they will do anything to save their grip on power. Now, so my theory, of course, based on a little bit of evidence coming through YouTube visuals. In fact, if you go to guerrillamedia.co.nz and search for alert, very important, HAARP caused the earthquake in Japan, smoking gun proof. That's alert, very important, HAARP caused the earthquake in Japan, smoking gun proof. It's had over 350 reads, that one article. It's just underneath the Tiki Tane arrested at the Illuminati bar in Tauranga while performing article. Basically, this guy has footage of these very, very strange lights in the sky. Very strange. Do not look natural at all. And they incidentally occur when a volcano is erupting. Did you know that there's a volcano erupting in Japan? I sure as heck didn't. And also happened outside of Japan's waters. Okay, well, you can see the blue lights on the horizon just before the earthquake hits. Okay, and similar pictures were taken in Christchurch before the earthquake hits. This is not a coincidence, I don't think. This is earthquake weapon technology. It's being used against us. Now, for what agenda? I can speculate that it's the global eugenics kill-off. New World Order's wanted to reduce our population by 85-90% for quite some time. Ever since the Georgia Guidestones were erected in 8 different languages, saying that we should only have one world religion, one language, one government, and only 500 million people, which means that the rest of us have to be exterminated, okay? And, you know, people say, oh, Vinny, you know, they may just kind of be thinking about, you know, what's going to be in perpetual balance with nature, as it says on the Georgia Guidestones. And to that I say, okay, well, if your objective is to get rid of 95% of the population, how exactly do you plan to accomplish that without using extermination or forced sterilization or other forms of eugenics policy? It doesn't seem possible. But when you know what eugenics is, when you know that genocide and extermination are basically commonplace throughout human history, it becomes fairly obvious that that's exactly what they've got planned for us. And this Japanese earthquake / tsunami, and incidentally, there's been 3 other earthquakes just recently. I believe my somewhat family producer, 7.1, then a 7.4, and then an 8, and then a 6. Not being reported on, you know. And in Christchurch, similar stuff is happening, where they're having basically shakes every day. Many, many, many times every day. This is what happens in these big earthquake areas. As soon as you have like a big, big shake, it keeps shaking for quite some time. Right? And no matter, everybody's going to be pretty freaked out, having their nerves rattled and such. So, what are we to do about it? Okay? If we've got criminal bankers running the freaking world using earthquake weapons to implement a global eugenics kill-off through the fallout of radiation, which will probably, it'll basically turn the world into Iraq. Okay? Iraq, where 1 in 4 children is born pretty horribly deformed. And the most common question that parents ask their doctors when their children are born is not the obvious, is it a boy or a girl? It is it normal? Okay? This is what is going to happen from now on. It will be commonplace. If you have a deformed child, you will be one with everybody else. Okay? And that really freaks me out, man. I have not had a child yet, and I do want to be a father. And I had dreams when I was younger. I've wanted to be a father since I was at least 13. And I had dreams that the woman that I'd finally have a child with would not only be extremely difficult to conceive, but the child will be born deformed or with some terrible disability. Okay? And it's that kind of haunts me a lot. Like, it really does now. That was what really popped into my head when I had Justin Time on the show, and he said that the deformities of children is what's going to now be commonplace. Okay, and it scares me. You know, I don't know what to do. There's no solution for that kind of terror, really. And maybe that's what the New World Order really wants. They want us to be terrified, and they want us to be slowed down. I mean, if you're and in fact, this brings up another important point. Soldiers who came back from Vietnam, infected with Agent Orange and such like that, many of them came home to their wives knowing that their children would be born deformed and chose not to have children as a result. And maybe that's been the plan all along, to make everybody so scared of having deformed children that they won't have children at all. And then they'll die of thyroid cancer, and voila, there's your population reduction. That's just a thought that's occurring to me. I don't know whether or not that's true, whether or not that's part of the plan, but it sort of rings true for me. You know when something rings true, you get this kind of gut feeling, and you're like, oh, my goodness. And a light bulb goes off in your head. That's what just happened right then. Now, thinking about it, if the world is now basically doomed in terms of the human race surviving unscathed, then maybe we should be kind of preparing, doing something about it, right? Getting the information out to people, right? Getting people thyroid supplements or, in fact, Himalayan salt, stuff like that. Got plenty of iodine in it. You know, protect your thyroid gland. It's a brilliant idea. Because what's the alternative? Okay? There isn't one. Right? There isn't one. You either get healthy, protect yourself, or you're screwed. It's not much of a choice. But this is the thing. We get our choices handed to us by a bunch of people who've already figured out what our choices have to be. Okay? Here's your choice, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to try and stand up against the New World Order. You're going to try and fight. You're going to try and kill the bankers or start a revolution, etc., etc., etc. That's the motivation. To do so is the opposition to tyranny. To save the human race. And unlike the Greenies, I want to save the human race, not the planet. They're two very different things. You're listening to Vinny Eastwood Show, and I'll be right back.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road. When along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab, and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla.
Oh yeah! Welcome back! Final segments of the Vinny Eastwood Show, the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, broadcasting live from the future, from the fabulous Fortress Fluoride Head Capital in Auckland, New Zealand. More retards per capita than the rest of the world, I'd wager, but I'm probably wrong. Welcome back. Now, I would think that, you know, and I suppose maybe I actually overdo this, you know, talk about how everything's a crisis and tell people how to deal with it. And maybe that's an idea. Or maybe I question myself too much. Maybe. Okay? Doesn't really matter. It's just all talk, you know. We're in a serious situation here. With the Japanese nuclear crisis, with these earthquakes, with government pushing through tyrannical legislation. You know, it's strange because I was talking before about how we're sort of fighting a war and the New World Order is like Nazi Germany fighting two fronts, okay? We're the ones that are on those two fronts, pushing them back into the middle, okay? And they're basically... they've basically got nowhere to run, you know, very, very angry with us. And so they should be. They've worked for generations to create a system that makes everybody sick, make everybody stupid, make everybody trust their governments, make everybody trust those in white coats. Trust is one of the most important aspects that is discussed during every election campaign, it seems. Oh, you can't trust that person because they've... Well, I can't really disclose on mainstream media television just why you can't trust them. Because then you wouldn't trust them at all, would you? That's our political system in a nutshell. These people tell you to trust them, but they don't tell you why you shouldn't. Okay? It's inherently unbalanced. I think that if you have a political system that's based much on lies and deception as it is politics, I'm struggling to see where the line actually gets drawn on those two particular subjects. Politics and deception are like Tweedledee and Tweedledum, you know? They go together just like peas and carrots. I love it. Now, when I get, last election campaign was the first election campaign that I'd spent as an activist aware of the New World Order plan. So I knew how the election was going to turn out. I knew John Key was going to win. I knew all the minor parties were going to be completely shunted out to the side. I knew draconian legislation was going to be passed from day one of the new government. I knew that Treasury was going to advise the Prime Minister to basically rape this country, sell off all our assets, and have a very nice smile about it. And I knew that this would all be kept relatively well guarded from the public, who would be incapable, even if they were presented with the information, of waking up to the truth. Okay, that process of helplessness that I felt during that election campaign became overshadowed by the fact that I was, in fact, helping other people campaign to be elected. Okay, I was making videos for them. All right, I was sending out emails and doing everything I could in order to stave off the apathy. Okay, apathy will kill you deader than a doornail. If you, under any circumstances, think for a moment that not caring is a bright idea, you know, get your head rearranged or checked out, preferably not by a psychiatrist because they'll just give you drugs which make you even more effed up in the head. You know, if you got some possibility of making a difference, no matter how small the difference. Okay, if you have a possibility, even if it's just a single string of like, oh, I hope this works, but it probably won't, just frickin' do it, okay? It's the only thing I agree with Nike about. I don't agree with their sweatshops. I don't agree with their crap, you know, and how the shoes fall apart and all that, but I do agree with the just do it mentality, okay? Because like I always say, what's the alternative, you know? You have to care and you have to act. Those are the two things that I think that every politician and more to the point, any activist or anybody who's interested in politics or the New World Order or health or any aspect of how our society is being run into the ground, if you're interested in any of those, you do have to think about them and you do have to act. Otherwise, you will become apathetic. You will become useless to all the people that need you. Okay? And if you think people don't need you, think again. You are all absolutely necessary to the future of this planet. Everybody listening to the airwaves now, and even those who have never heard the Vinnie Eastwood show, they all matter hugely. Hugely. You have no idea how important you are. Okay? New World Order doesn't want you to know that. They don't want you to think that you can make a difference. They don't want you to think that you're powerful. Okay, but I know you are. I know I am. And the power that we share, mate, there's nothing that can stop us. Okay? Not even thyroid cancer. And on that cheery note, thank you very much for listening to another exciting edition of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. You can check out the archives at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, and also to a lesser extent, Guerrilla Media has the episodes posted up as articles as well. And you have yourselves a fabulous day, ladies and gentlemen.